Just press the button and yeah. Good. Thank you. How's the wind back there? Good, I'm glad you came back. You didn't fall for that pretentious sunshine. Temptations are great, isn't it? So let us take up sitting posture and continue celebrating Buddha's awakening, and in the wake of which we sail nowadays 2,500 years down the road. Again, recall posture, sitting from the pelvis, building your spine, verifying that you sit in upright way so that you feel your shoulders to be above your hips, your earlobes to be above your shoulders. Recalling that whatever you do, after a while it starts to feel normal, so we can't trust this feeling. And that we have the humility and the patience to go back and start anew, start afresh. Just because we have sat straight once doesn't mean that we're going to continue doing this. Seek realignment anew every time. We're not becoming experts at this. Samatha practice, the practice of calm, begins with learning to establish a sense of ease, both physically, posturally, and in attitudinally, establish a sense of ease with how we are now. That's where samatha practice begins. It doesn't begin with extraordinary mind states. It begins with learning to make, as we are now, an as easeful position as possible. That begins with our body. It means you take out the folds in your socks and you make sure that there are no creases in your trousers, and anything that pinches or hinders your breath or stops your wrists from relaxing, any of this, you know, either discreetly open, unbutton, remove things that stop your hands, say, from being placed symmetrically, anything that might cut into your blood supply or restrict your breathing pattern. So you verify. This may be the moment you have to loosen your belt a bit or undo a button because there is some food now taking place where there was space before the meal. You're looking for optimum starting conditions for this practice. There will be enough left that is not optimal or that will start to emerge. We give ourselves the best possible start, seeking uprightness, seeking symmetry, seeking to hand over as much of our body's weight to the ground beneath us, to our sitting contraption. But then we're trying to find balance, equipoise, widening your chest. Think of your breath doing the work. Think that you sit here and your posture is mainly maintained by breathing. Think of pumping your posture slightly up. It's the breath that opens the chest. It's the breath that helps you sit upright. And then we acknowledge. We acknowledge what's here. We do a sense check. Sound. What are the sounds I'm sitting in? There's a little bit of golden scream going on out there. Bird life of King Alfred's. Three-cylinder sounds of a Suzuki 550 out there, maybe, who knows? A voice rustling, the breathing of my neighbor. Whatever you hear, this is the soundscape you're sitting. Visual channel, what's happening underneath my closed lids? What do I see when I don't look? Is there really nothing happening in my eyes? How does nothing look? I have quite a bit of visual experience, actually, with closed lids. There's blotches of green and orange. There's brightness. Strange pulsating shapes. But predominantly quite bright. So, how is it for you? Taste. Next channel. What do I taste? Are there aftertastes? Things I've eaten, drunk, smoked. Maybe I've managed to brush my teeth. Maybe I have no specific taste, so then what is the taste of my own tongue in my mouth? Is there such a thing as a zero taste? Notice the saliva response as soon as you're trying to consciously taste. Because usually consciously tasting is associated with food. So just to go through the motion of consciously making an inquiry into taste phenomena is likely to trigger some of your saliva production. Smells, olfactory experience. What's happening in my senses? of smell? What do I discern? A whiff of King Alfred gymnastic equipment, a whiff of human bodies in large quantity in here. What else? What's the specificity of my olfactory experience right now? Is there anything at all discernible? If you whiff all of it, is there something more happening? Very old sense, slightly decreased in importance over the centuries, millennia, but we're still taking this fairly personal. We highly identify ourselves and others with smell. Good reasons, yeah. Bunch of civilized hunter-gatherers that forage around and identify the edibility of things on the basis of smell. This is an important sense. So it's smack bang in the middle of our limbic system, so we have very little way of getting perspective on olfactory experience. We feel hit quite immediately by it. We can much less easily detach from olfactory experience than, say, from visual one. Also, I'm quite close to things I can smell. I can see things from quite a distance, but I can't smell things from a distance. So whenever I'm smelling something, I'm pretty sure that I'm fairly involved in it. Can't escape it. Can't close my nose, for example. I can close my eyes. My control is impaired when it comes to negotiating smells. Moving on, my mind sense, sixth sense, with its objects, thoughts, images, concepts. Oh, what's happening there? Are these thoughts moving fast or moving slow? Are they calm or are they agitated? Are they murmuring, or are they making appeals, giving speeches? Or are they just kind of contented and sort of like a happy child engrossed in its play, preoccupied with itself? Or do I have loud, big, demanding thoughts? Are they friendly? Or are they menacing? Are they chirpy or are they moaning? Can I exercise discernment rather than believing thoughts or thinking or following thoughts or trying to block them. Is there a way I can associate with this process of thinking other than just thinking my thoughts? Consider for a moment. Maybe you're sleeping and the peace you experience is not the peace of samadhi, but the peace of a bit of blissful, highly pleasant, dozy fuzziness. How could you verify? One way to verify is the acuity of your sense perceptions. Is this all conveniently foggy? Or is it actually crisp? Learning to maintain a thought without believing it and without following it is a skill, a very crucial skill. I didn't know that before I started meditating. I was never taught that, that it's possible to maintain a thought without believing it. Finally, the last senses, tactile sense, and tactile sense insofar as it is just the outside of the body is concerned, what my skin touches, pressure, temperature, warmth, all these things I can feel with the skin when I sit here. A little draft, the coolness on the hand, on the backs of my hand. The touching of some of my clothing on the body. All this is tactile. And yet, beyond the tactile realm, I have an internal realm. I can feel things in the body without the involvement of skin. There's an interoceptive part of my sense of body. I can feel pressure, I can feel solidity, I can feel texture in the body. Verify whether this is true for you. The inside of my elbow feels very different than my knee feels. I can feel extension. Things take space. How big my hand is. I can gauge by that spot of warmth on my left knee, my left thigh. You can feel the weight of that hand. Discern degrees of solidity, density in the body, things that are reassuringly strong and holding the body upright, things that may be soft and squishy, things that may be foggy and hazy, and things that are very tangible. See whether you find examples for these qualities in your experience of body right now. Then let's settle on the breath, the movement of breathing in, breathing out. The gentle caress of our inner organs with each moment of breathing in and breathing out. Allow our minds to feel the soothing and stabilizing effect, attending to one's own breathing habits.